this morning. It's a little chilly outside too, so we're not going to move the service outside. We'll stay in here. It's a lot warmer. Move your toes around if you need to. If you need to stand and get warm, do that. But it is a little chilly in here. All right, never mind. I'm thinking of too many funny things to say. I'm just not going to say them. Genesis chapter number 18. And if you knew all the things that run through my mind, if I said them all, I'd be in trouble all the time. All right, Genesis chapter number 18, verses 11 through 19 again. And I don't know, as you were reading this, I chuckled a little bit a couple times as I was reading it. And I thought I heard a couple others as well. Kind of an interesting thing that transpires here between God and Sarah and Abraham. Verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah, remember God had changed their names from father to high father, Abraham, and Sarah from domineering to a princess. Sarai was a kind of a domineering influence to Abraham, and God changed her name to Sarah, meaning a princess, and went along with somewhat of a change in her perspective, I think, as well. But anyway, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" No, she wasn't too old, almost 90 years of age. That's not too old, right? And shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, God hears everything that goes on, you know. Be careful what you gripe about with God or what you laugh about with God, because he knows. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also." And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" And God's question to her question, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm not preaching on that, but I'd like to right now. Nothing's too hard for God. Amen. What circumstance are you in? It's not too hard for God. It's not unknown to God. It's not too hard for God. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I've had people in hospitals quote that. The Lord is my helper because he's always with us. He's my helper. And is anything too hard for the Lord? Of course not. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. Yeah, you did. For she was afraid, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up, and by the way, don't argue with God about what you did or didn't do. He really does know, amen? Sometimes kids, I didn't do that. Yeah, you did, I saw you. God did too. And so, at any rate, nay, but thou didst laugh. But anyway, God says, let's go on here. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Certainly God has revealed what he's going to do to his prophets throughout the scripture. And here to Abraham, God revealed something that he was going to do. And aren't you glad that we have the record in Scripture of things that God revealed that he was going to do, and then we have the record of those things coming to pass? It's one of the great confidences that we glean from the Scripture, of its authenticity, of its accuracy, of our ability to have confidence in it, because what God promised to happen did happen. Therefore, we know that what he promises to happen will happen. And so, at any rate, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I shall do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. What a great promise. We'll talk about that in just a second. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Now in this passage of Scripture, God is letting Abraham know what he's going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. Also letting him know, I am going to give you a child of promise as I had promised. Ishmael's not the child of promise, but Sarah's going to have a child, and let her laugh all she wants to. She's going to be joyous when she has the baby. And God's letting him know what's going to happen. He's letting him know here about Sodom and Gomorrah. It was great interest to Abraham because his nephew Lot lived there. Abraham and Lot had separated, and Abraham deferred to Lot's choosing, and Lot chose the well-watered plains, and he went and lived near Sodom and pitched his tent toward it. And then we find him moving into it, being one of them, a leader among them, and losing his influence even on some of his sons-in-law because he did not really walk in faithfulness to God. And at any rate, Abraham is being warned or told of God about what he's going to do. But I want you to know in particular, verse number 19, there's so many verses, key thoughts, or Brother Travis, rabbit trails that you could chase down this passage here. But verse 19, for I know him. For I know him. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. That I know him, for I know him. Think of that phrase, for I know him. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 tells us, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, what? Faithful. And we're focusing our attention the first part of this year in our morning service on being found faithful. Being found faithful. Observed to be, by God, faithful. That ought to be the goal of every Christian. Every Christian can be found faithful. We may not be as outwardly fruitful as perhaps someone else is. We may not be outwardly successful as someone else is. We might be battling in some areas where someone else is not. But we can always be found faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And in this passage of Scripture, God looks at Abraham and he says, for I know him. I know him. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Found faithful, Abraham, for I know him. Let's just pause for prayer for a moment. Please, Heavenly Father, we pray the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts. I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd take our thoughts and focus them upon your word. There's so many things that can distract us, and we let our minds get distracted so many times. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be focused upon you, your word, how it relates to us personally today. And Lord, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, may they get that all-important matter settled today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faith is, of course, the foundation for faithfulness. We talked about the definition of faith. Conviction based upon hearing, i.e., hearing the Word of God. Deep-seated conviction, what we've come to believe, rely upon, based on what we've heard from the Scripture. That is faith. And faith in action is then acting upon what we've come to believe or rest upon. By faith, many people did things that are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. They didn't do it by positive thinking. They did it by faith. They heard what God said or knew what God said, believed it, and acted upon it. That's faith. Faith is always active. It's not passive. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just believe in his existence. We put our faith in him to do as he said he would and do what he provided to save us. We put our faith in him. It's active, not passive. Faith is the foundation for faithfulness. Hearing God's word, what he expects of us, believing it, and then acting upon it. That the faith is the foundation for us becoming faithful. To become faithful unto the Lord, one must first, of course, as we've mentioned, put his trust in him, in the Lord, in his person, who he is, what he can do. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And so, you know, faith is putting our trust in God and who he said he is. Modern people try to conjure up people all through history, really, have conjured up who they think God is. And today people say, you know, whatever God is to you, you look to that. No, we only know God by how he's revealed himself in his word. There's not a bunch of private gods running around here, and we all have our own private idea. It doesn't work. God has revealed to mankind through general revelation, through the creation, and through specific revelation, the word of God, he's revealed to us who he is and what he does. And by faith, we come to trust him, person. God can do anything but fail. Whatever your need is, he can help you according to his will. He can save you for all eternity. He's able to do that. Now unto him that's able to keep us from falling. He keeps us from losing our salvation. Aren't you glad? There's been a lot of instances which if my flesh prevailed, I would have lost my salvation. But God keeps us. Amen? He keeps us. To become faithful in the Lord, one first must put his trust in him, that is in his person, but then that accompanies in his promises. Faithfulness comes out of relying on the promises of God. For example, you tithe, and all of us, many of us, I should say, have experienced when we have more month than money, right? And we say, well, boy, if I just held back my tithe, then I'd have some money to buy this. But the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of thy increase. That's what the Bible says. Jacob said, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That's what the Bible says. And so faith in his promises, his principles, says, you know what? God says this. I feel this. I sense this alternative way of thinking or need. But the Bible says this. Faith is saying, I'll trust God. And then we act upon it. And we, in this instance, would tithe or give to the Lord's work. And then we get to see God bless us with the promises of, I'll open up the windows of heaven on you when you do that. To become faithful to the Lord, one first must put his trust in him, his person, but then in his promises. What God promises, he's able to perform. Faithfulness comes out of leaning upon God's person and God's promises. Faithfulness doesn't happen out of willpower. It happens out of faith power. Abraham is considered the father of faith. That's what he's called, the father of faith. The scripture says this about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Think about that statement just for a minute. We'll touch on that later. He believed God, faith, and it, his belief, was counted to him for righteousness. Now, what he did came out of what he believed. And God saw him for what he would do based on what he believed. He believed God, and it, that belief, was counted unto him for righteousness. In the passage of Scripture we read today, God speaks of Abraham, expressing how he viewed Abraham's faithfulness. And as Sarah, you know, laughed about having a baby, and God changes the subject, focuses on the judgment that he's going to bring on Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm going to do. For I know him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Faithfulness. God, looking at Abraham, said, I know, and let me paraphrase, he is faithful. I know him. God evaluated Abraham to be faithful. Now we have to understand some things about Abraham quickly this morning. God had called him to leave his homeland and his family to go to a place that he would show him. That's a wing and a prayer, isn't it? God had said, the Lord had said unto Abraham, or Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Everyone wants to have God write out a master plan for their lives, giving them the option to choose or reject whatever they will. I was talking with somebody about the aspect about Joseph and how that God, you know, worked things behind the scenes to get Joseph through difficult circumstances to get him where God wanted him to be to use him. And the person said, like I feel, well, I don't want to be like that. None of us do. We don't volunteer for jail time, right? We don't volunteer to be hated by our brothers or sold into slavery. But God works in our lives without our understanding at times to place us where he wants us to be what he wants us to be, and to do what he wants us to do. And he does not run a master plan by us for approval. God said to Abraham, or Abram at that point, leave your land of your nativity, leave your family, and you go to a place that I will... I'm not even going to tell you where it is yet. You go to a place that I will show you. God's not going to give us a master plan. It doesn't. Faith does not work that way. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we walk by what God says, by what God promises, trusting his person and his promises. We walk by that, but we do not see all the corners and paths and destinies along the pathway. We do not see that. We walk by faith and not by sight. By faith and not by sight. Abraham had to trust God to do as he had said, and it required stepping out into the unknown based only upon the command and promise of God. We all know a little bit about that. I mean, I think of when Gail and I moved to Bible college. I was called to preach. I believed in my heart. We were living down in Texas, and we moved to Bible college some 1,000 miles away. Had no idea what I would do for work. None. And hauled all of our belongings up there, or at that point in time, two little children, and hauled them up to Hammond, Indiana, the armpit of the country, and just didn't know what was going to happen. But God led each step of the way. 2 weeks before college started, I found a job and it lasted until the last semester of college. Amen? That's what God does. We find out what God wants us to do. Abraham had to trust God to do as he said. It required stepping out to the unknown based only on God's commands and God's promises. But he stopped short of the complete act in the beginning, staying in Haran until his father Terah had died. I believe the Bible implies to us God had told him to leave and he went with his dad and they stayed in Haran. Then when his dad died, then Abraham went on to do what God had called him to do. Don't procrastinate, amen? Do what God wants you to do. Do it now. Do it when God speaks. But after his father died, it seems Abraham followed through on the command already given from God to leave his family and homeland and go to a land that God would show him. Steps of faith are not always easy, but they're always the best. They often include personal sacrifice, leaving family, leaving friends, leaving the comfort of knowing an area. They often include personal sacrifice, but steps of faith always bring greater blessing. Whenever we give up something because God is leading, God replaces that with many, many wonderful things that are benefiting. Now, the age is not the most important factor in the story of Abraham, but it is worthy of note. Abraham, listen now, was 75 years of age when God told him when his father died, and he went on to do what God had called him to do. 75 years old. You know, there's not many people here that are 75 and above, right? Just a few. Well, I'll get there, hopefully, right? He was 75 years of age, not where the Lord's talking to him in our passage here, but when God had called him to go to leave Haran. 75 years of age, by our current standards, is when people quit doing something for the Lord. No matter what age you are or we are, we need to respond to God's word and step out in faith upon it. We always need to be doing what God wants us to do. Amen? And there are steps of faith at every level. Thinking about your dad, Brother Mark. You know, whenever he moved in the Whitcomb, I can remember him saying, "Well, I believe the Lord has something for me to do here." And he did. 90-some years old, getting people to come down to the Bible study, right? He's in heaven rejoicing now. Probably saying, "That's right, preacher, preach it." No matter what age we are, we need to respond to God's word and step out in faith upon it. God uses us oftentimes differently at different age levels. I was thinking about that when I first got saved. When I was younger, I was just teaching a children's class and running a bus route, leading songs. But it's interesting how through the years, God has used me with different people in different age groups in different ways. And it's just amazing how God doesn't have just one little cookie cutter mold that he's stamped on you, and that's how you're always going to be and always going to be used. God uses us differently. If you're 75 years of age, say, "God, what do you have for me to do?" Amen. If you're 15, "God, what do you have me to do?" First of all, live for him at school. Witness to other kids. Be faithful. Grow now. Couples would say, "What's God want me to do?" It might not be go to China, but it is rear your children today. Be open to the Lord using you now where you are in your life, with the abilities and opportunities that God has given you. Of course, at 75 years of age, Abraham, as we know the account here, was just getting started. He was just putting in first gear here. He had no children yet at 75 and ended up living, 100 more years, God bless him. The Bible says it this way, dying at a good old age of 175. I love scriptural phrases like that, and he died at a good old age. Genesis 25:8 says that Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. I also want you to think about something else with Abraham before we get to what I want to cover here. God said, I'll make of thee, in chapter 12 when we first see Abraham, God said, I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee, make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This promise in verse 3, that we read it here in chapter Genesis chapter 18, also it's given in verse number 18, if you'd look at that, Genesis 18, 18. It says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Do you know that was a promise that God gave Abraham that included you? It was a promise regarding salvation to come. Later in Galatians, the Bible says, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. God gave the promise of a coming Savior to bless us with salvation to Abraham way back then. Thank God he fulfilled that promise. Then later, Abraham said to the Lord, you haven't given me a seed. Lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. Incidentally, God knows them all by name. He named them. This shall be thine heir. He brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. What, isn't that interesting? The picture of salvation, and he'll bless him in all the families of the earth. And the Lord said, you're going to have a seed. And he believed God, and God counted that for righteousness. He promised a son, and Abraham believed God. And God attributed righteousness to Abraham because of his belief. Let me just pause there for a second. The only, if you're saved, the only reason you're saved is that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given you righteousness because you've believed what Jesus did for you. It's the only way salvation happens. Jason, did I turn that on? I did, didn't I? Okay. That's the only way that salvation happens. As we hear what Jesus did for us, we realize we're sinners. We realize that Jesus came into this world for sinners, promised way back, and came for us, lived for us a righteous life, died for us a sinner's death, rose victoriously over out of the grave, conquering sin, death, and hell, and then offers to each of us a gift of eternal life, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God offers salvation as a gift for one who puts their faith in what Jesus did. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when we call on Christ, believing what he did for us, God counts it to us for righteousness. Stamps his righteousness on us when we accept by faith, believing what he did for us. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Of course, we know, a little background of Abraham. We know that Sarai, although God had given that promise, said, Abraham, you know what, I think we need to take matters in our own hands. It ain't happening. I'm not going to have a baby. I'm too old. And he was encouraged by Sarai to accomplish fulfilling God's promise by the power of their flesh. Hence, Hagar comes in the picture. You see, human reasoning never works when it comes to faith. And Sarai, out of human reasoning and logic, it is quite logical. You're not going to have a baby if you're almost 90 years of age. Amen. She was younger at that point in time, but it seems logical you're not going to have a child. Human reasoning would say, really, it's stupid to think we're going to have a child. But faith says God can. God can always do what he promises. Human reasoning doesn't work when it comes to faith. And Abraham was faithful. Faith founded upon God and his word, who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. God works in the realms of the miraculous, overstepping all human reasoning. One song I learned growing up says, got any mountains you think are uncrossable? Or rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. Human reasoning is not faith. Abraham's step of doubt with Hagar, coaxed by Sarai, his wife, listen to me, did not negate his faithfulness, but it did complicate it. There were steps of doubt with Abraham when he lied about Sarah being his wife for fear that someone would kill him to have her as their own. She must have been very beautiful to look upon. He said, you know what? I better say she's not my wife. 13 years after Hagar had Ishmael, God established a covenant with Abraham and the males in his household, and Abraham implemented circumcision for himself at 99 years of age, with all the males connected with him, being Ishmael and others, as a covenant between the Jews of God. When he was 99 years of age, a step of faith. God said it, he did it. Faithful personally, when it wasn't very conducive physically. God reminds Abraham of his promises and tells him he and Sarah are going to be a child, and it brings us to where we are here. I am going to give you a child as I promised. You've taken matters into your own hands. You've complicated the issue, but you did believe me. I've counted it to you for righteousness, and now I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. And as God gets ready to let Sarah have a child and bring judgment on Gomorrah, he looks at Abraham. Abraham, who had taken some steps of doubt, who had procrastinated doing what he should have done in faith in the beginning, God looks at him and he says, I know him, that he will command his children and household after him. God counted Abraham above all things to be faithful, to command his children and his household after him. An important phrase or passage here is that showing us that God viewed Abraham faithful with regards to what he would pass on to his family. I want to ask you, what is the most important realm of personal relationship or ships that you have? What is that realm? I think everyone would say the family, amen? Church family is a very important thing. We're like family. But where the rubber meets the road, people say, my family's the most important thing to me. Everybody would say that, usually anyway. God viewed Abraham faithful regards to what he would be passing on to his family. And God noticed about Abraham, or viewed Abraham, that he would teach or command his family that they would keep the way of the Lord. As God looked at Abraham, he said, I know him. He is going to make his children, or command his children, to keep the way of the Lord. When we think about faithfulness, sometimes we think about accomplishments. As God was thinking of faithfulness when it came to Abraham, he thought of family and what Abraham would do regarding his family. He would command them that they would keep the way of the Lord. They would take the way that God had showed him. Abraham would pass it to them, and his family would pick up the mantle, the torch, the baton, whatever you want to call it. They'd pick it up and take from Abraham what God had given to him and keep it in their family. That's the way it should be. Amen. Someone say, well, my family never served God at all, start a brand new chain link of faith for your family. God viewed Abraham faithful that he would keep, teach his family, his household, to keep the way of the Lord so that they would do justice and judgment, so that they, in other words, do what was right in the eyes of God, so that they would make decisions regarding life based on God's commands and principles. Boy, I wish that there had been a lot of Abrahams in New York State that passed on belief in God's word concerning life. Amen? I'm glad I don't live in New York State right now. Hopefully, well, I've got too many loved ones there to say this, but I can say hopefully New York would fall into the Atlantic and San Francisco would fall in the Pacific, right? But there's righteous people there, don't get me wrong. Someone asked me about New York State. I said, you know, the upstaters in between Buffalo and Albany, the upstate New Yorkers are quite conservative, but it's the volume of people in New York and Buffalo that carry the weight when it comes to voting. But listen, they, as you know, New York State voted to approve abortion in the third trimester up to the even the due date. And they applauded it. Yay, we get to kill babies, literally. They applauded it in their chamber, the House chamber there. And they even repealed the law that if a baby was aborted and it was surviving, they don't have to keep it surviving now, according to New York law. It's horrible, horrible. I can imagine. Folks, all over. I've got relatives, love the Lord, serve the Lord out there. Their gut has to be turning terribly. God said about Abraham, I know him. He's going to teach his family, his household, the way of the Lord so that they can do what's right and so they can make decisions regarding life based on God's commands and principles. That's what we need, amen? Oh, would to God that our senators, our legislators would make decisions based on or concerning life based on the principles and commands of God's word. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And then so that, we see in this passage, God would be able to fulfill his promises to Abraham. God said, I've seen him to be faithful to teach his family, and they're going to pick up the mantle so that I can then bring on Abraham what I said I would. And that includes through all the nation, that all the nations would be blessed through him. All the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. God said, I know him. This is the kind of guy he is. Yeah, he's come short. He should have got going right away, but he didn't. Should have listened to Sarai. She was a little domineering. He listened. They did the wrong thing. Consequences, Ishmael. Conflict with Isaac. Jews, conflict with the non-Jews in that arena today. There'll be consequences, but I know him. He believed me. And I know that he will command his children and his household after me so that they will do right, so that they'll make decisions based on the word of God, and I'll ultimately bring blessing upon him on them because of his faithfulness. Because of his faithfulness. I can't help but think, you know, my dad got saved on a little farm boy, got saved 11 years of age, rest of his family were not born again. Got saved because some faithful Sunday school teacher, Leo Hickok, drove down a country road and invited people to Sunday school and took them to Sunday school before there were bus routes. My dad went and got saved, went to Bible college, became a pastor, married my mom, She wasn't my mom yet then. Married, who is my mom? Was my mom. And reared children. And you know, it's amazing how that God blesses all the family that would hear to what is passed on. That's what God saw in Abraham. God evaluated Abraham's faithfulness according to what he would do with his home. He'd come short in some other areas, but God said, I know he's going to command his family to do the right thing. The scriptures tell a man to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God said he knew that about Abraham. He'd be a faithful man to guide his family God's way. A faithful man is faithful in the public arena and in the home as well. I've known men, even preachers, who are angels in the eyes of the public and devils within the walls of their home. But God saw Abraham faithful in his consistency to pass on his faith in the home. It was not that he had been perfect, he had not been. It was not that he never took steps of doubt, he did. It was not that he always set the best example, he did not. But he was faithful to pass on God's expectations and followed them in his own life by the grace of God and taught his children the ways of the Lord. His blessing would be passed on because of his faithfulness to God with regard to his family. How important it is that young people today see spiritual consistency at home. Amen. Children ought to see at home the principles of God's word in work. Working. They'll never see perfection, but they can see faithfulness and be faithfully taught the ways of God. There is no greater blessing than to see children walking in the paths of God. If we want to see the blessings of God, we need to be faithful in this way as well, like Abraham was. John said that he had no greater joy than to see that his children walk in truth. I know him, God said. Just like he knew Sarah laughed, I know him. He'll command his children and his household after him that they might do justice and judgment, that I might bring upon him the blessing that I promised. I know him. Now the great test of Abraham's faithfulness cannot be overlooked. Quickly, would you look at Genesis 22 with me, just quickly. Genesis chapter 22, and this in itself would be several messages. But I just want to look at the great test of Abraham's faithfulness. And it's so relevant to what God saw him pertaining to his family. Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. You know, he had a son Ishmael, but he had his only son Isaac from Sarai, the son of promise. Take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And the lad, he was probably 18 to 22 years old, somewhere around there. And Abraham took I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither thou do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God said, I know him. He will command his children and his household after me. I know him. And now God sees him exemplify that faithfulness. Abraham's faithfulness to God was demonstrated in that he would not put anything above the Lord. The very thing that God said he would be faithful to do concerning his family, God demonstrated Abraham's faithfulness that would not even come before God. In Hebrews 11, it says, why? It says how Abraham was able to do that. It says he was able to do that because he believed faith. He believed that had he sacrificed in obedience his only son, that God, because God had promised to bless all the families of the earth through that seed, he believed that had he obeyed God in doing that, God would have raised him from the dead, because God keeps his promises. Amen. And the Bible says in Hebrews that in that he received him, I think reference to Christ, in a figure. Christ is offered and rose again. I believe he could raise him from the dead to fulfill his promise. Faithfulness. I want you to just, I don't have time to go into it, but just think. God said, I see you're going to be faithful. I know you're going to be faithful to teach your family. And I want you to demonstrate that you'd be faithful to me above your family. God knew and demonstrated that Abraham would be faithful to him above and beyond the most treasured thing in life, his son. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. We live in a day where people set aside principles for those close to them. Abraham was faithful to God because God was first above even family. And when that happens, family gets the blessing. What an example of submission. It didn't just happen. He was reared to trust. Submission in Abraham, submission in Isaac. Listen to this phrase. Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. And God used his family to demonstrate it. He's faithful to teach, but he's faithful to put me above any person close to him. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. What a touchy point. You know what I mean? Because we're all tempted, and I see it happen, or have seen it happen through the years, where people forsake what they know to be right to please family. But God said, Abraham, you're going to command him to go the way that I want. And I'm going to demonstrate your loyalty to me by asking you to offer your son. And he said, I see that you've done that, that you fear me. Amen? We become children of faith by believing the gospel God promised in Abraham. But we become children of the faithful Abraham by passing on righteous principles to our family, putting God first. That's the greatest principle you can ever pass on. God first. For I know him, and he knows us. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for so many things we could talk about with Abraham. And yet, Lord, you brought out this phrase about knowing him and then used his dedication, devotion, and faith toward you to illustrate putting you above everything else, even the most treasured things in our lives. May we be faithful. May we be found faithful, found in a practical way in our daily living to be faithful in this way, putting you first, putting you first. Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here that's never personally received Jesus Christ as Savior, doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray you'd challenge their heart that they might come this morning and say, Pastor, I want to make sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven. I want to make sure that I'm heading to heaven someday. Lord, if there's someone here that's not sure, I pray you'd touch their heart and they'd come forward this morning. Then, Father, I pray that you'd help us to be determined to have this kind of faithfulness that reaches into the home, passes on to our children what you've taught us, and puts you above every relationship in life. Help us to be faithful. Challenge our hearts. Lord, maybe there's some here today that say, you know what, I'd really need to honor God in a greater way. And blessings follow, folks. Blessings follow. Father, if there's someone here now that needs to make a decision, I pray that they'd come today. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together, please? Is there some decision that you've been postponing for fear of what maybe someone close to you would say? Please, please. Do what God wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do.